Hi guys, this is the last set. We're presenting the Everyday Hour with Jack and Joe. How are you doing, Joseph?
I'm doing pretty well, man. This is it. We're starting to pick up the pace a little bit now. We've started gaining a little bit of traction. I'm glad we're being consistent with these
I
podcasts.
know.
Just trying to get the content out there for the people, for the fans, at least doing once a week. So I'm liking the pace right now. What about you?
Yeah, I'm liking how often we're doing these, and we're just trying to keep it quite consistent. We're staying consistent. We'll typically do maybe two podcasts a week, most likely an MMA and an Everyday. So the MMA will be MMA stuff, obviously, an Everyday Hour. Like today, we'll be talking about other stuff going in our lives, as well as just general our own, ideas and thoughts on things going on in the world. So, do you want to kick us off, Joe?
Well, recently, just before the podcast started, I literally just found out that Kanye West had dropped out of the race for presidency. He was only in announcing that he was running for president, officially, when he officially got in the race was a few weeks ago. But he said back in 2016, I think it was at Oscars or some Emmys or some awards, he was high on something. He announced that he was high on something that he decided to run for president in 2020. Well, he stayed true to his promise, but I don't think he actually was going to actually run in the first place.
Well, he said on the, I think it says on the 4th of July, he said he was planning on running for president. And then that was in 4th of July, not that long ago. And that's the 16th of July, and he's gone, nah, maybe not. That's really weird. He put out a tweet. It's weird. It's weird how like you're becoming the president, and now it's normal now that you just tweet something out, and that's the news.
Well, lately, a lot of in this day and age, everyone just looks up to celebrities a lot more than we used to, and sort of we expect them to sort of be role models or political figures. And basically, Trump was a celebrity for a long, long time, and he was announcing that he was running for president for a while back, and that he or he at least wanted to. And then basically, everyone literally gave him heaps of garbage, and he basically proved them all wrong. But he wasn't the first celebrity president. I believe the first celebrity president was John F. Kennedy.
Yeah, it was. It
Yeah.
was.
So it does show that's back when it starts. But nowadays we're expecting, more and more celebrities to run for president. I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger did it. He ran
He
for
did it.
governor.
Governor of California.
Yeah,
Yeah, the
he actually
governator.
did a pretty good job.
Well, apparently he did all right. I mean, to be fair, who can hate on Arnie? If he becomes, the governor of California, you better shut up, because he's gonna roll out the guns.
Well, I
I'm just
mean,
bringing up on here that Kanye West. I want to see his tweet actually, his official tweet, because it's so. Don't you find it weird how, with the with President Trump, his news out to the public isn't by him having a presser and going out in front of the TV and people watching. Oh, look, the president is talking. It's literally that he just puts a tweet out on his phone,
oh,
while
God.
he's probably eating, and it's weird. I just find it so weird. Like Kanye is literally, he's just said, "Oh no, I'm out."
Yeah. Well, nowadays, sort of politicians are becoming celebrities and celebrities are becoming politicians. If you think about it, I would say right now, the Premier of WA, Mark McGowan, he's probably been one of the most popular premiers we've ever
I think
had.
so.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are pretty happy with what he's been doing so far.
Yeah, I feel like politicians are now becoming more involved in terms of the that celebrity status. I honestly do, and I honestly feel
Well,
like
it's just with
maybe,
social media, they get to see a different side of
yeah,
it.
that's what I think so as well, because social media is such a powerful tool for people who are trying to gain status or power in today's society. It allows you to voice your opinions, for good or bad. And Mark did a pretty good job. Who else has got a pretty good Facebook page? John Howard. There's
John
videos of him.
Howard.
Yeah, John Howard. There's videos of him playing Foursquare with kids, and he's actually really good at Foursquare.
Well, what is he? 50 odd? He better have a lot of
Oh,
experience.
oof, God.
I just brought up here. It was a report. Well, it's.
And you know, I was Kevin Rudd.
Oh, Kevin Rudd's funny though. Kevin
Yeah.
Rudd's a funny guy.
Sorry, it's not John Howard doing Foursquare, it's Kevin Rudd. It's
That's
Kevin
what I was
Rudd,
thinking.
that's what I'm thinking.
I knew
I don't know
Kevin
why I
Rudd
was
did
thinking
it.
John Howard or something like
I
that,
knew
but John
Kevin
Howard.
Rudd did it. I didn't know about John Howard. I've seen the videos of Kevin Rudd. I'm like,
he's doing it with school kids and he like annihilates them as well.
Oh yeah, he's not gonna take it easy on them. He's gonna dominate on the court.
I'm guessing this must have been how he like rose to fame. Started back in high school, started out with that one game of four square. Yeah. He goes, oh, I'm pretty good at this. And then next thing you know, someone's like, hey man, do you want to be prime minister? And I'm like, well, I'm pretty good at four square, so I may as well.
Yeah, that must be what he's looking at. So it said report, Kanye West hired a 180-person presidential campaign staff, and now they've been told, in quotations, he's out. That's pretty weird. That's pretty strange.
I mean, Elon Musk was like a big advocate for him. Elon Musk backed him. Yeah, Elon Musk is probably one of the smartest people in the world right now. So,
I think it's just because, I don't know. I'm not too sure. Mm. Just quickly, we were watching the UFC fight night today with the headlining card. It was Calvin Cater versus Dan Ige. Dan Ige actually just sent out a tweet and he went and said, Abu Dhabi must be kryptonite for us Hawaiians because Max Holloway didn't get the... Honestly, that was a razor-thin fight as well as that Calvin Cater versus Dan Ige one.
They're both really, really tough. That's all I can say. There was a lot of kicks, a lot of punches exchanged. There was quite a few takedowns. It was quite an active fight. I was very happy with the pace of the fight. But the card itself, you know, I'm not bagging anyone, but it was all just decisions and submissions, really.
I mean, I like the decisions. I expected a KO by Calvin Cater, at least I put the third round, but it just didn't happen. Also, Cody Stamann fighting Jimmy Rivera. When we were watching it, we figured that Cody would be the overall favorite. However, when we looked at the betting odds, they were perfectly equal at 1.90 each. And Jimmy Rivera got the decision. It was a fairly dominant performance. It wasn't the most active with big punches and things like that. It was more, he just kind of dominated him. Anytime Cody went for the takedown and then he would switch to a single leg, Jimmy Rivera would push back.
Mm-hmm. There was one really impressive moment in the fight. I think it was at the end of the second round where Jimmy Rivera threw a big right hand at Cody Stamann. He dodged it and responded with a flying knee. Mm-hmm. And it hit him right on the chin and they just kept going. It was like, no one said anything. I was like, wow, that was a high level striking right there.
And there was Tim Elliott versus is it Ryan Benoit or I don't know, he does not like French, so I'm not going to say Benoit. And Tim Elliott, he got the decision win. We weren't too sure who won that. I was thinking Ryan may have just scraped it. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those ones, it totally could have been a draw. Mm-hmm. It totally could have been a draw. But because it was three rounds, you know, the likelihood of that happening, mm-hmm, not so sure.
Yeah, again, the pace was, I mean, the pace of all the fights were pretty full on. There wasn't really that much boring, wasn't really anything boring about him. Very active,
there was a lot of pressure in all of them. Yeah. They weren't bad fights just because they went to the decision. They were really good fights.
Yeah.
They were really good fights.
Yeah, every single fight in the main event or the main card went to round three decision, all of them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the prelims was actually quite active. I had a submission and a few submissions.
There was some big TKOs as well.
Yes, there was.
There was. And Calvin Cater against Dan Ige, just quickly, that was a brilliant fight as well. Mm-hmm. Dan Ige, we saw he was a bit more dominant in the first and second round. And then Calvin Cater seemed to take, the later rounds. That's why I can understand that they got the decision win. I think we scored it while we were watching it on Betting MMA. We scored it as 48-47, I believe, for Cater. Although the Ego's no slouch, and we knew that already. Ego, 50K for a reason. He did really well. He did really, really well. So that's the UFC out of the way. What else did you want to talk about, Joe?
Oof. I don't know, man. I mean, we're out of COVID and everything's pretty much going back to normal except over East.
There's a crazy amount of cases. And I know both of us talked about it ages ago when nothing was really talking about it, but I think a lot of people were thinking the Black Lives Matter clearly was the reason why the protests.
Yes,
they've gone out. They're in high density. Someone's going to transfer over, and that's exactly what happened.
Well, it was because it was over east where we had the most amount of cases.
Exactly.
That's why I'm pretty sure we talked about it on like the second or third podcast that we did. I said, guys, just hold off. Like, what? Why does it have to be now? I mean, if you just hold off for the protest and then you're more active at the protests when you're allowed out of the house rather than when you're not supposed to be out on the streets in the meantime, because now we have so many cases. But there was another thing I said. I believe that I made the link between the two, Black Lives Matter and coronavirus. Now, correlation doesn't mean causation, but we've seen a lot of investigations and finding there are links.
We kind of knew. We spoke about it ages ago. We knew full well that was the reason. And it's unfortunate to see that also a few cases are in Western Australia. I think we had 8.
Yeah, but they're all returning from overseas travel.
Exactly. Yeah, they're doing a really good job.
Yeah, I think there's one where it's a young boy. He literally came back from England or United Kingdom. Mm-hmm. He stopped over in Dubai and then he came here and he tested positive for coronavirus.
Yeah.
So all of them are returning from overseas travel and they're all in hotel quarantine. But the amount of cases over east that we're having is just skyrocketing. It's spiking. It just shows that, you know, the whole idea of to control this pandemic was to make sure that everyone stays inside so they can basically control it. And I know there's people who are probably in the comment section right now going, oh, well, vitamin D kills coronavirus and all that. They should be outside. I'm like, well, we don't want, like, yes, outside, but not socially interacting.
I would make that argument. I think it's weird that they put them in, like, dusty little dirty hotel rooms where they don't get vitamin D, because we know that's so important for fighting off viruses, especially like coronavirus. It's just unfortunate. If you haven't already paid for the best balcony there is in the hotel, there's the likelihood of you getting much sun. It's not likely. You know, maybe some vitamin D supplementation would be really, really good, you know, on 3,000.
Well, it just shows that people are now stamping their feet and complaining about it, even though they just should have just listened to the public health ministers. You know, that at the end of the day, you know, they're always going to try and put your health and put people first. And the protests just completely ignored it. And then...
it's not like it's not a pure
exactly
good thing against systemic racism. It was just, we really hope you wait just a little bit longer so we're out of this and there's no big second wave, and it looks like we are having a second wave. There's places in America that have shut down again.
Oh yeah, I believe there was one place in America that everything's pretty much gone back into quarantine. Exactly.
We knew there was going to be we knew there was going to be a second peak. Second we just week. Did not know how big it was going to be. And it just so happens that in America, where the Black Lives Matter happened the most.
Yeah. One thing I got to put out there was I put up a post on my Instagram. Basically, it was a TikTok, not one that I made, but it was from the movie Step Brothers. And it's at the scene with the dinner table. And they announced to the boy is that they're getting a divorce, and then it's Will Ferrell and what's the other guy's name?
Oh, I have no idea. Yeah, I have no idea. It's hilarious. It's sad that we can't play it. That's unfortunate though. Yeah. We can't play it over there because even though it is a meme, it's from a movie.
So it was the scene from Step Brothers when they find out that the parents are getting a divorce, and they're like, it's a TikTok saying beachgoers, and they're saying, oh, you're acting like it's our fault. And then mum's going, it's not your fault. And then it's like protesters, well, whose fucking fault is it then? We want to know. And then it's the dad just pretending, and it says God above his head. It's like, let's cut the shit. It is directly your fault. It is 150% your fault.
And then the protesters won. Will Ferrell just starts crying.
He just starts crying, like, Robert, don't cry at the table. Yeah. It's just like, it was funny.
That was funny. Well, you were saying off air you lost a few followers.
Yeah, I lost about 10 followers from that. I was like, it's totally worth it.
You lose some followers when you post memes sometimes, don't
well,
you?
Well, if you can't take a joke, don't follow me.
Yeah.
And besides, it's TikTok. Like, I didn't even make the TikTok.
It's not like you post outlandish stuff or you make the memes yourself, but it just Oh, are you? You know, no. You do make memes.
A couple of memes.
But it's not typically the ones you get in trouble for.
Hey, man. It just shows again, I feel like people need to be a little bit more thick-skinned.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, John C. Reilly was his name.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, I mean, being offended is a choice. And the only reason why you're offended is because it challenges your ideas and values. Mm. That's why. That's literally what it is. But if you practice patience and, you know, practice mental resilience, you'll never be offended, you know?
I'm not never be offended, but you're able to deal with it.
Yeah.
You're able to deal with it.
In a non-emotional manner, not sending hate comments or basically death threats.
Exactly.
Or trying to cancel people just because they made a joke years and years and years ago.
That's I know this is MMA related and this is the everyday hour, so we're going to try our best not to talk about MMA, even though it is like one of our biggest passions ever.
Yes.
So there's a British MMA champion. Who is he for? Is it for Bellator? I'm unsure if it was for Bellator. However, he unfortunately died on his 30th birthday. Mm. He was stabbed to death on his 30th birthday. He was a British MMA champion. Yeah. It was really troubling to see, but it's good to. On the other side, a lot of people are being flooding in and just saying, you know, he's such a great guy. You're in a better place and things like that. So that's great to see as well. Yeah, it was really upsetting to see, especially on, you know, that was on his 30th birthday. So I believe it was for Bama. Mm-hmm. I think he's fought for Bama and he's fought for Bellator as well. And he unfortunately, he was 30 and he was 6-2 as a pro, and he unfortunately died. But it is unfortunate to see, but a lot of people have been like flocking to his side and showing support, which is great to see, especially for his family.
Yeah, hearts out to his family. Even though we're trying to steer away from MMA today, but basically there's just a lot of hot topics going on right now.
There is a lot, especially with Fight Island and things like that, and they're trying to push as much as you can. So, you know, a lot of the time we don't want to talk about it as much. We want to leave it for the other podcast. However, you'll find, even though you came for the everyday hour, you know, you'll pick up a bunch of things about MMA, even though you don't typically watch it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you never know. Watch a couple of MMA fights. You might really, really like it.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's the fastest growing sport. We've been fans for a long, long time. It's just one thing I really want more for the UFC fighters, for them to have a better... Well, one thing I would desire is they have better investment, better sponsors, so the fighters can get paid more.
Mm-hmm.
Because the amount... Because they fight with, like, what, 4-ounce gloves?
4-ounce gloves.
4-ounce gloves. And then, you know, they got to take shots to the head. Getting punched with one of those hurts a lot. When it's different to boxing, you know, when they can fight with 8-ounce gloves.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, it's more, but with MMA, basically, you can get kicked in the head and you can be punched. And, like, the injuries are a lot more fatal, a lot more brutal.
Of course.
And, you know, like, I think, I remember you showing me a photo where after the Cowboy versus McGregor fight, which was probably one of the highest pay-per-view buys, Cowboy got $40,000. And in Canelo's last fight, he got, what, 20 million?
Yeah.
Millions.
So it's unfortunate to see. That's what, where it is at this point. They don't have an Ali act or anything like that. So it's MMA just, fighters make so much less than UFC fighters. Mm-hmm. And for a boxing fight, you could argue that they can compete more regularly than a UFC fighter, because MMA's rough. Like, unless you're getting these first or second round KOs and you're in and out with not a whole lot of damage, you're out for a good bit.
And a lot of UFC fighters are very, very active, but we have like boxers, they usually fight like one or two times a year if they're champion. Biggest the hardest part that goes before the fight is the negotiations, because boxing is the money sport. Mm-hmm. There is so much money that is involved. But then again, anyway, steering away.
I wanted to bring up that, you know, it's a bit weird what's going on with coronavirus. Do you think this is gonna adjust our relationship with China?
Well, it's already it's already a tense time with China. And right now what's going on is people believe that there's a second plague or virus that's coming out of China. It's called a bubonic plague.
Mm-hmm.
And they even found a new strain of swine flu in China. And literally, basically, we still don't even know who Patient Zero is. It's like somehow everyone's sort of forgotten about it.
Because it grew so quickly, I question if you could.
Mm-hmm.
But I would argue, and it's not really so much a conspiracy anymore, that you could put the put it out there that it could have been man-made. It could have been man-made, and not because they engineered it as some super weapon that they could, you know, throw out there. I really think it was just, you know, in order for you to experiment and produce vaccines to things, you do have to experiment on viruses, especially like this. I think.
Do you know the Brett Weinstein theory?
What's that?
The Brett Weinstein theory. Well, I don't think it was Brett Weinstein's theory, but I heard it from Brett Weinstein. Basically, where he explained the theory about the coronavirus and the proof that it could have came from the lab. So,
because there's one of the China's virology labs where is it?
Wuhan.
Wuhan.
There you go. Yeah. Well, the argument they were making is that because this virus is the desire or the goal of a virus is basically to survive. It's not to spread, just to survive. Mm-hmm. It needs to find an active host, and it wants to survive in a certain environment. And the environment basically is predetermined before the virus spreads. Meaning, what I'm trying to say, that a lot of people who did test positive for coronavirus, they were lacking in vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
Now, vitamin D obviously comes from the sun, or getting exposed to some sunlight. And because the virus thrives in an environment where there is a lack of vitamin D, such as being stored in a refrigerator, shows that there could be a link between that.
But that's the thing. A lot of viruses don't react well with sun exposure, with UV light.
Yeah.
A lot of them, it's not really just a case with coronavirus. A lot of viruses are like that.
Mm-hmm.
And vitamin D is huge for the ability to fight off that. I don't think it's quite like that. However,
like, it's a potential theory.
It is. But I would say a lot of places that viruses thrive in tend to be dark places out of the sun. And I would suggest that, honestly, I think there's a possibility that it is man-made, and that it came from a virology lab that was in Wuhan.
Mm-hmm.
That you could totally make that argument, right? Do I think there was the intent for them to spread it? Most likely not, because this is kind of damaged China's reputation quite a bit. What I find weird is that, actually not that weird when I think about it, China's not really going to take ownership of that happening. They're not. Because there's been a lot of financial loss, a lot of jobs lost. Unemployment is at its highest in Australia, I believe.
Were you talking about that thing you told me yesterday about Taiwan?
Oh, yeah. So there was the theory that Taiwan was actually ahead of they don't really have many cases, if any. And the reason why is Taiwan kind of hit it a bit early and they shut down a lot earlier. When they were monitoring China and their social media, we all know that China can control, what people can see and say, and censor what they're talking about on their forms of social media. And so what they saw was a lot of people were saying, "Look, I've been really sick for a long time. I can't shake this. A lot of my friends are getting sick, and what's going on? This isn't going well." And Taiwan was monitoring them and saying, all these tweets are being removed. They're all being deleted. What's going on? So, you know, they did a bit more research and they knew that something was going on. So they actually took precautionary measures. And that's why they're a bit ahead of everyone else. You know, I don't think they've had, you know, a second wave or anything like that, you know?
Yeah, tough times. Another thing that's going on in the world right now is, I'm always having trouble pronouncing her name, Jocelyn?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, she was very, very close friend of Jeffrey Epstein. Mm-hmm. Recently, on Netflix, they released a documentary series about the victims of Jeffrey Epstein. Did you watch it?
No, I don't watch that stuff. It's really hard to watch. It's so gross.
Yeah.
I'd rather not know anything about this Epstein world. Rather not know.
Well, I watched one episode and I thought, geez, man, this is really, really hard for me to watch because like the level of, like, let's just say he was scum. What he did was disgusting. But the reason why it was so disturbing to watch was because the vivid detail that the victims gave about him.
No, you don't want to hear that stuff.
Yeah.
He's obviously disgusting.
But their message should go out there.
But I think a lot of what they're describing, I haven't heard, but you've told me there's a bit graphic and there's a bit...
It's
pretty gross. Like, you don't want to hear that. That's private stuff that they should be telling the police. Not to the general public. I think a lot of people just eat up the Epstein thing because it's big and it's dark. And
yeah.
You know what? I don't really want to know. I don't even look at the more, you know, darker stuff anymore because I don't want
to
know.
I believe the whole intent of the actual documentary series itself was to prove that, you know, that there was a much more to the Jeffrey Epstein than, you know, than the people know. It was to get the idea that, you know, the conspiracy theory is that he was interacting with very, very high-level, high-profile celebrities.
Of course he was.
Is true. Not only that, but also to frame Maxwell. Because Maxwell was his friend. She would find the girls. She would bring them to him, to their private estates. And she would tell them things like, oh, Mr. Epstein wants a foot massage, or Mr. Epstein wants you to bring him some food. She would seek out the vulnerable girls.
Oh.
And only until now, she's been charged, and she pled not guilty. And basically, I'm just thinking to myself, if you were friends with a man, or friends with... Okay, let me just say a rephrase. One of the best things, or best qualities that should be in someone's friends, or such as yourself, is friends who call each other out on their bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, when someone know they're being shady, you know, and you pull them aside and say, hey, come on, man.
He's more than shady. He's
the highest, like, case of it, basically. He's the head of fucking, he's the tip of the fucking shadiness. You could not get any more worse than him. At some point, she must have said, hey, why are we bringing all these girls to the fucking ranch, man?
Do you feel like maybe she did it and she was just like, I don't want to know?
Yeah. I honestly believe that, and that makes her even worse, the fact that she would be that naive.
I don't think she was being naive. I think she suspected, but then she would just shut up. She'd probably shut off. Honestly, dude, you know, this kind of stuff is just gross. It's nasty, and it's just really, really, really gross. When we were talking about coronavirus and that, I asked you, do you reckon that our relationship with China is a bit, you know, messed up? Because Turnbull actually put out, our former Prime Minister, when he said that, you know, a lot of Australian businesses were criticising having relationships with China. And Turnbull said, you know, we're gonna continue having a good relationship with China. I know Australian business doesn't like it, and I don't think any business right now likes that they had a really strong relationship and obviously relied on China so much. However, I was speaking to you off air. The biggest importer of Australians' exports, China. Number one exporter.
Because it came from China.
So the total, like, net worth of the Australian exports that they import into their own country are 89.2 billion.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
So if you look here, number one is China and number two is Japan. Now, the difference between Number four, United Kingdom. Number three, South Korea. And number two, Japan. It's the difference between, 3 billion, about 9 billion. And then it jumps between 1 and 2, China and Japan. The difference between 1 and 2 is about 60. That's about 64 billion. Now, we rely on China so much.
Wow.
Australia relies on foreign investment a great deal, right? We cannot afford to get rid of China.
Hmm.
We can't. You cannot afford to get rid of China. And that's why it's very difficult for a country like Australia. You know, that's why most likely the politicians are saying it's shameful and things like that. I feel like a lot of businesses now have now reinvested in Australian local businesses for manufacturing, because a lot of people, a lot of people we can think about, they have clothing companies and things like that. They manufacture their clothes in China because it's economically sound. It's at a lower cost for them. Australian businesses, the local ones have a lot higher running costs, and that just affects your business and making the most profit that you can, which is why they go to China. Now that we have coronavirus and a lot of stuff is shut down. I remember I was trying to order some gymnastic rings, right? Yeah. It took me 2 months to get them, right? And as soon as I got them, I was like, I bought some locally the other day. I'm sending them back.
Yeah. It just shows how much we depend on overseas exports. A lot of businesses, they suffered greatly because they just could not get their supplies in because they rely on overseas exports. So that's...
It's got a lot of jobs. And actually, I wanted to add to this. So it was put out by the Sydney Morning Herald that the jobless rate, or the unemployment rate, is at a 22-year high. Almost 1 million Australians are left unemployed.
Yeah, I believe it's at 7.4%.
7.4%.
7.4% right now. It's gone up 0.3% since last month.
Since 0.3 is not like a huge, but you can see the amount of drop around April.
Yeah.
There's a huge drop off in April, which we know is when a lot of stuff closed down.
Well, what's going on right now in WA is still a lot of businesses are using JobKeeper to fund their employees because they're still trying to get back up and running, and they would rather have the government pay for their employees rather than having to do it themselves.
Yeah.
How long do you think it's going to take for us to, like, for us to economically recover from this downturn? I honestly believe we're going to be in debt for about the next decade or at least.
Yes, it'll take years. The amount of people, local businesses that are closed up, we know a few businesses that have just, the whole landscape of a suburb.
Apparently Fremantle's now a ghost town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't doubt it because a lot of those small businesses relied on locals in Fremantle walking about and walking into their shop or walking up buying something from their market. You couldn't do that for months. You couldn't do it.
We just played Call of Duty through the whole thing like it was nothing.
Exactly.
Well, I'm just trying to ego, like, what would the biggest thing that, well, one of the things I did throughout the whole COVID thing was, you know, of course, we were still studying uni. We were still, you know, I was reading quite a fair bit. You know, I was doing online workouts for my gym. And then we just played a lot of Call of Duty like it was nothing.
It was good. It was good. Now, you sold your PS4, so I'm very upset at you.
Well, I still believe that it was totally worth it because now the podcast is up and running, because maybe if I didn't sell that PS4, we wouldn't be at this point.
You're loaded, mate.
You're loaded.
You should have done a few more strip shows and you could have...
That's coming back up now.
It is coming back up.
I'm still waiting for our next show, but it's going to be... over the next coming months, but it's nice to see all the strip clubs. It's nice to see all, you know, all those strippers and toppies and skimpies, them back in action, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, one thing that was jacked up, one of the biggest businesses that made so much money off COVID?
Hand sanitizer?
No, OnlyFans.
Oh god!
The amount of people that got OnlyFans. You did two things.
You know all those people that do OnlyFans. You know all that about that life.
Yeah, well, there was only two things that people downloaded during COVID-19. That was either TikTok or OnlyFans. I chose TikTok.
Yeah, well, I downloaded TikTok for this business. But I never managed to like do anything.
See, that's the thing that's also going on right now with TikTok. Apparently, it's trying to get, they're trying to ban it here in Australia
because it's got Chinese influence.
There again. You go.
It's scared a lot of people because a lot of people, because China put out some false claims about coronavirus and there's nothing going on, they couldn't prepare. They couldn't prepare, and they tried to squash it. Tried to put out a lot of, you know, a lot of fake statistics and things like that, that no one really believed. It wasn't happening.
What were the fake statistics that they put out?
So the fake statistics was that they were saying, you know, it was getting better. You know, they for the amount of size that China was, they're over a billion people, and then the number that they gave for those that were tested positive and that were affected, it was like, that makes no sense. It makes no sense for such a place that is so heavily dense,
mm-hmm.
and has such a high population. It made no sense to have those numbers.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that didn't quite make sense was the fact that people were having, there was all these like stories coming out of Wuhan, like there's mass graves, like 40,000 people have died. Or I remember there was this one video that my girlfriend showed me. Apparently there was a nurse on the front line of Wuhan who's now gone completely missing. They can't track her down. And she said there's been at least 90,000 deaths here. Like they've had to call in, they had to cancel all construction and use the vehicles to dig the graves. Look, don't at me. I'm just saying this is what I saw from the article. And what was the other thing? People were saying for a while, don't panic.
The thing is, what do they have to gain?
Yeah, that's and for a while, everyone was saying, relax, it's not going to hit here. Shit, everyone calm down. It's going to be fine. And then we went straight into lockdown.
You and I said we knew something was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We knew something was going to happen, but we didn't know we were going to be locked down for such a long time. We really didn't know that. It's such a weird time. We've had SARS and things like that in the past, but nothing's been quite like COVID.
Yeah. We've had now 580,000 deaths. And it's just more and more confirmed.
That's global.
I mean, that's what I mean. Right now, I think still at the top of the leaderboard, United States is at 138,000 deaths. Whoa, Brazil's jumped again.
Brazil's
at 75,000 deaths. Here's the thing. Brazil scares me because of the fact that
they don't have the best healthcare.
They do not have the best healthcare. It's a dirty place. And they got hit.
It's a dirty place.
It is a dirty place.
Sound like Colby Covington, man. Sound like Chaos Covington going, it's a shithole. Brazil's not a shithole. You're a lovely country.
There you go. Brazil, there was no activity. There was barely any deaths. I believe that it was because they weren't doing that much testing. Mm. And straight away, I went over to testing in Brazil. Like the amount of the rapid deaths that was going on in Brazil, they were climbing. You know, the scales really, really quickly. It was really, really alarming. But there's also certain countries where they shut down really, really early, and they let them out really. They let them out too early as well, like India.
Yeah.
India was one of them.
That's another heavily dense place.
Have you seen that video in India of the monkey stealing the vitals?
Yes.
Yeah? There's a video on the internet. Go check it out. And Christy D'Elia talked about it, where there was a monkey who had stolen the coronavirus vitals,
mm.
and it was up in a tree, and there's this guy going, good boy.
he's trying to get off. I'm like, that's going to work. Yeah, that's going to work. If you say, please give me the vial. He's going to go, this boy wants the vial. So how many global deaths did we have? Because I believe deaths. Australia in total has 111.
Okay, so global deaths, like I said, was 580,000.
So we got over 500,000.
Yeah, and
Australia only has 111 deaths. Mm-hmm. With Western Australia, which is, you know, probably about a third of our country.
Yeah.
A good chunk, which is where we live, we only had 9 deaths.
Yeah.
No, it's not as dense, and we put a lot of good measures mm-hmm. Put forth by our government. It's just sad to see with the United States. It's really, really sad. I know that they have a much higher population, and they a lot of places like LA and things like that, they do have a really heavily dense city.
Mm-hmm. Not even that, but it's not dominated in the media anymore. Do you remember when we first had coronavirus or the first case hit? All the media was talking about was coronavirus. Now you barely hear about it in the media. It's like, oh, well, ratings are going down. Let's move on to the next thing.
I think it's because a lot of people are a bit over it. I think a lot of people are just a bit over it now, and they want their lives to go back to normal. I think a lot of people were fed up with the, you know, the news always going, and every channel, every article, it was always coronavirus, a new coronavirus. It was very fear-mongering, and it wasn't, it wasn't helping people, because all it was we saw in the streets and in shops, people just smacking each other over toilet paper, you know, scrapping in the streets. It's just a weird time. It's just a really weird time.
It was a weird, like, one, like, how did toilet paper, like, become all of a sudden, like, the norm that everyone needed? How quickly does it take for you to go for a roll of toilet paper?
Did you see that even different clothing companies and things like that, they've made hand sanitizer?
Yeah.
Tons of businesses that were putting out, you know, workout apparel and things like that, they've got their own branded hand sanitizer. I'm like, I could make that in a bathtub with some aloe vera and some alcohol.
Didn't, like, everyone...
And now it's $100.
Everyone was also trying to sell masks.
Yeah, they were trying to sell masks, and there were some people that were trying to sell, like, fake masks as well.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the, what I've heard about masks is that the ones that, you know, they're just the basic ones that cover around the mouth, the ones you see doctors wearing, apparently they don't do anything. Apparently they're not as effective. But the ones you have with the filter in the front, like work masks, like you see people using when they're working construction or demolition, or where I use when I'm in the workout, in the warehouse, apparently those are the best kind of masks you can get, but there's a complete lack of supply. And in the warehouse, a lot of... we were asking for masks for weeks before we got shut down, and we couldn't get any. It was like masks, hand sanitizer, and some, for some godforsaken reason, toilet paper were the three hardest things to get.
The thing is, though, I find it weird with masks, because let's be real, they really don't do that much.
Yeah.
They really, really don't. They really don't. If you're close enough to a person and they cough, I'm sorry, this little bit of fabric isn't going to do anything.
Yeah.
And it's weird that a lot of people, you know, you're not allowed to... If it's weird that masks is the biggest priority. Like when you're going into like a shop or something like that, you can't enter unless you have a mask. Rather than cleaning hands.
It was like that for the Apple Store. Me and my girlfriend, we went to the Apple Store and we had to get our temperature checked, and we had to wear a mask in there.
The temperature check, that makes sense. You were showing me a silly video today, and it was in an Asian country, and they're walking, was it a store or a nightclub or something like that? And she would check the body temperature by putting her hand on their forehead, you know, like you've got the flu in your five, and she would just pull people out of the lines. No, you're too hot. No, you're fine. No, you're too hot. And I was, I said to you, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
Because the coronavirus can pass through touch, like touching surfaces.
Yeah, you literally just spread it to everyone.
Yeah,
went, coronavirus? You have no coronavirus? Oh, here you go. Go quarantine for 2 weeks. I hope you enjoy, you know, suffering through flu-like symptoms.
It's like Europa. You get coronavirus. You get coronavirus. Exactly. You get coronavirus. Everybody gets coronavirus. It's
the dumbest thing. And then they're just like, oh, why is it spreading so much? I'm like, oh, well, everyone's not really like adhering to it. We could have been out of this a lot sooner. People just adhered to what was said.
Well, I still believe that. One thing I learned was, you know, I could not be more grateful to be here in WA.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, easy. Right now, I honestly believe that the politicians are saying WA will be the envy of the world. It is right now.
It really is.
Yeah.
I want to also put this up because I saw this on SBS. Australian school leavers and job seekers are to gain access to free courses under the new job trainer plan. Now, I saw this on the TV the other day. So the government is on top of already paying a lot of money for job seeker. I'm not sure where all this money is coming from, Joseph. The government is also adding a $1.5 billion to its wage subsidy scheme for like apprentices and trainees, which was announced as part of like the first kind of coronavirus economic support. Now, I don't think that really comes off as a part of their first, you know, section of their coronavirus economic support. It's difficult because they're also in a time where they're already spending on keeping some workers to keep their job, they're also trying to spend even more money, you know, because they were spending $500 million on Commonwealth money, and now they're doing, says, about 350,000 young Australians who face entering the workforce are able to learn new skills for free, right? So it's good that they're not paying anything because they don't have any money to pay for new skills. So a lot of these people are getting retrained with new skills. So hopefully they can have access to other jobs that they wouldn't before through the government. It is good to see. I don't know where all this money is coming from. I don't know. It's good that they're trying to do something because earlier we were talking about, you know, the jobless rate is at an all-time high. 22 years, it's never been so high. It's weird. It's so strange how drastic some of these measures are. It's such a strange time. What did you think about this job trainer?
I think we just need to follow the money. You know what I mean? It's not even that, but the thing that scares me, why are they giving out all this money when all of a sudden we're in like a massive debt? Not even that, but they're giving out extra payments, I think, to people who are on JobKeeper. I think people are getting more payments now that are on JobKeeper. I think a lot of people were struggling financially. But I just believe it exposed the weaknesses in our game. You know, exposed the weaknesses in every business. Exposed the weakness in basically the country's dependency on foreign investment. And basically in a time like this, I believe that, you know, you need to focus more on individual responsibility, because it was a time where people were asking themselves, oh, what can I do with what I have, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it's going to basically be a mark in history for a long, long time.
It is a big mark in history. And I question when we're not going to be talking about coronavirus. I question when we're not going to be talking about it, because is there going to be new strains? And when are we actually going to, it's going to be part of the past.
Mm-hmm.
When is it going to be when we don't have to keep talking about coronavirus and talk about the financial burden that it is? When are we going to be in such a good place that we don't care about coronavirus anymore?
And one thing we need to basically ask ourselves, what are we going to learn from this? There's a really famous saying, I don't know who said it specifically, but not learning from your first mistake is a second one made. So Australia needs to ask itself, okay, what mistakes did we make before, or that led to this coronavirus, or led to the impact that it had on us, and how can we correct them? You know, maybe focus a little bit more on like building their own resources, or depending on themselves a little bit more, not having to rely on foreign investment. Maybe we have some kind of like better job keeper system. Maybe the businesses should get a little bit of extra help, or businesses should teach themselves how to survive in a time when, you know, you have to shut down to face to face and use the internet more to trade.
I think a lot of also businesses are going to start to go more online.
Yes.
They've realized how they may have relied on the physical presence of their business.
But absolutely.
They've noticed now they might not need it as much.
Yeah.
I think a lot of jobs where, you know, you may be doing accounting or something like that, you can now do it at home. You can now do it at home. They're rethinking how their business operates. I think with any kind of stressor, they're thinking differently now. A lot of businesses that were online have thrived.
Yeah.
A lot of them have.
Like,
online was the future.
Like, streaming sites also thrived.
Exactly.
Like, Netflix thrived. Netflix,
YouTube, Spotify, podcasts, they've gone crazy as well.
Not gonna lie, I probably watched more Netflix than ever. When I would barely ever watch Netflix because I was managing all my jobs and all the work and uni. And then when coronavirus hit, I came across probably one of the greatest TV shows you've ever watched, and that is Tiger King. Have you seen Tiger King?
Yeah, I watched probably, I don't know, about half of it. I was watching it with my girlfriend, but every episode I just kept on going, what is wrong with these people? They're all terrible people. They're all got one, he's got multiple girlfriends, and
apparently that's not true. That's Doc Antle. Apparently that's not true.
Apparently not?
He's a single dude, basically. And
yeah, no, but let's not forget.
He's a single dude.
He takes advantage of them, and he puts them in weird stuff that he likes. That's what he does. They're young people that don't know better, and he's like, game on.
Yeah.
And that's weird. And the other one, she legit killed her husband.
Yeah, I honestly believe that she did kill her husband as well. But here's the one thing that just like doesn't, that just does not add up. The fact that he convinced two straight dudes to be his husband with meth. Imagine if some blonde dude with a mullet came up to you and says, "Hey Jack, here's the deal. I'll give you all the guns you want. You can come and live with me in my zoo. I've got over 100 tigers. You know, I run a radio show. I'll give you all the meth you ever need, but you gotta let me butt fuck you from time to time."
So a regular person was, a regular person goes, "N-O, no deal." Right?
And that two dudes were like, "Okay."
I'm surprised you found one. And then there was one dude that just went, like the guy with no teeth, obviously, was just like, "How much meth?"
It was like, "How much you got?
How much meth you got on that zoo farm you got?"
Not even that, but there was a part where they're in the back of a truck and he's got one of his caretakers with him of the zoo, or zookeepers with him, and he basically says, "Oh, do you watch porn?" And he goes, "Yes." And he goes, do you like the one with the guy with the big one or the guy with the small one? The guy with the big one. And he goes, "Then you ain't straight." I'm like, that's all it takes to determine whenever someone was straight or gay, like what kind of porn they watch.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what he does. That's what he does. You know, he's in jail for a reason because he did all kinds of shady stuff as well. I found it weird at that dude's funeral, like his ex-husband's funeral. he was just kept talking about like. It's just really inappropriate. Yeah. It's so inappropriate.
He was talking about his ex-husband's balls.
Yeah.
He was saying, whenever I go a bit sad.
Yeah, he kept on saying like, "Oh yeah, whenever I got sad, came over here and he rubbed his big balls in my face. It was great." And then he would go, and you know what was really good? You know, his balls. If you remember him, he had really, really big balls." So I was like,
and this is his funeral. And his sister are in the front row.
This is his funeral. And he's just going, "Yeah, he's got really, you know, you would know, wouldn't you? You're his mom, right?"
And not even that, but he dressed up as a priest too. I'm just like a priest with a big cowboy hat on. I'm like, I was laughing. I thought the whole thing was
I just kept on going to my girlfriend, "This cannot be real. This cannot be real life. I don't think anyone is on, like, no one's got quite the imagination to make a show quite like that. Like, it's so crazy that it has to be real.
Mm.
It's also so crazy that it's like, where did you find these people?
Yeah, like how does this like fly under the radar for so long? But the dude was on mainstream media for one point. He ran for president at one point, and then he ran for governor of his state.
Yeah, well, whatever that state was, and America, we salute you. Really glad you didn't elect that guy. Even though he loves talking about his ex boyfriend's balls at his own funeral. Besides from that. I stopped watching it, honestly. Yeah. I couldn't do it.
I reckon we can leave it there. Leave it on his balls.
Yeah, well.
on them big golden nuggets.
Oh, God. it's so gross that he, like, brought that up on his funeral. And I was just looking at my girlfriend going, "This cannot be real. This cannot be real."
Alrighty.
It was so gross.
Yeah.
Anyway, have there been other shows you've been watching? Because I've been looking at the Titan Games.
Oh, the Titan Games.
Have you watched it yet?
No, I haven't. Well, the reason why I don't watch the Titan Games is because growing up as a kid, I used to watch Gladiators.
I love Gladiators.
Gladiators was the shit.
So good. When they would get the pole with the two end, and they would, like, you know, it would be like that, and they would smack each other on top of the two podiums, and they wouldn't be able to move, and they would knock each other off. It was so. I watched that as a kid, and I was
like, good.
These guys are cool.
That was the original athlete motivation. Like when I was a kid, I used to watch. I'd be like, I want to be Jack like that dude. You know what I mean?
And then you realize they all go right and like just inject all of the juice.
Yeah, but everybody's on steroids, dude. Like Nate Diaz says, everybody's on steroids. Well, I mean, I'm not blaming everyone or pointing the finger at everyone, but a lot of people who are famous just for their physique, I honestly believe, are taking something
Taking some. If it's not SARMs, it's steroids, it's TRT. A lot of them were just like, I'm not on steroids. Are you on TRT? Yes, that counts.
I honestly want to see a future or something potentially like a division or a sport where that kind of stuff is allowed. You know what I mean?
Because in Mr. Olympia, they don't test for that kind of stuff.
No, I mean like a sport. Drugs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, but I know what you mean. As in they don't test for drugs and like most likely all of them are. That's what you're thinking.
They did it with Pride.
Yeah, they did that with Pride and we saw some really crazy fights. The UFC always had... The UFC has got a better relationship with USADA now, a little bit later. I think the longer they work with them, the better relationship they'll have. Mm-hmm. The ones that are post-USADA scary...
Yeah, but one thing I want to see...
Paul Acosta and Yoram Emmerich.
Yeah, one thing I want to see is athletes... one thing I want to see is I want to see scientists develop a safer form of it, because I know there are side effects, there's massive side effects to taking steroids and performance enhancing drugs, but I want there to be a sport where the athletes are allowed to take those kind of performance enhancers, but provide medical treatment so that way it's controlled.
The thing is, I've got a different opinion. I don't want to see that. Mm. I don't want to see it because it tarnishes people's legacy because they don't know if they did it alone. They don't know if it was down to them, right? And that's what was really sad about TJ Dillashaw, because he tested positive for EPO. You don't know how long he's taken it for. You don't know if he just took erythropoietin through anemia medication just so he could get down to the proper weight to fight Henry Cejudo, which he lost. Mm-hmm. Killing himself to get that weight, and then he ended up losing quite drastically very quickly.
Yeah.
It messes with their whole legacy, and you don't want... The biggest thing with, you know, those big bodybuilders, they say, well, you'd be nothing without those steroids. No, they work extremely hard. They diet insane. They sleep a ton. Everything is down to every gram. They weigh everything. They work so hard. And then everyone will just go, but they're on steroids.
Yeah.
Right? The best thing for athletic performance, I think, is doing it as cleanly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
As cleanly as possible. I like to see the cleanest version of a human being, because that is the real ultimate fighter. That's one that doesn't need anything. It doesn't need anything at all.
Just,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Subs are fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, supplementing other stuff and things like that is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think having the cleanest athlete that is the very, very best, that's really showing what the best human being can do in mixed martial arts.
Well,
specifically, in any other sport. The best... If Michael Jordan, like, later on, they had a bit of, like, some frozen urine or something like that, and then they tested it with our current, equipment and went, hey, he tested, you know, for steroids. It would completely mess with his legacy. Mm-hmm. And then we'd go, hey, maybe you couldn't jump as high. Maybe you couldn't have... A lot of it, basketball is certainly technique, but a lot of it, you know, is very fitness-based, running back and forth. Mm-hmm. Hey, maybe he might have been benched a bit early and he wouldn't have got those shots in.
Well, there you go.
It would tarnish their legacy so much, dude. It would. I reckon if you got the very best clean athlete and you got the very best steroid athlete and you put them together, I think the general public would go, yeah, bro, but he didn't do without steroids. I think a lot of them wouldn't respect the steroid guy as much.
All right. Well, I think that's a good way to end today's episode, don't you think?
Yes. Angry rant from Jack. All right. This has been the last set presenting the Everyday Hour. It was a little bit different because we talk about less MMA, as we like to. We're going to get a little bit better at bringing up topics that are a bit more for the general public.
Yep, that's a sign I gotta go.
That's a sign we gotta go. All right, thank you everyone for listening and tune in to our social media. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.